Welcome to episode 17 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. As I sit here looking out of my office window at around 8:45 in the morning, the perfect blue sky and bright sunshine are already making me think about a number of shoots which I'm lining up for the coming weeks. Those will be set against backdrops ranging between woodland and urban locations, but on today's show, I want to give you just a brief look into a project which I'm involved with, starting with a recent shoot. Now, by contrast, this location was indoors, dark, and fresh air was in short supply. Working with a team of around 14 people, and with considerable organisation involved, it was a great two-day team affair. Full details will be emerging soon, but for now, here's something of a teaser just to whet your appetite. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 17. I'm on my way home from 2 days of excellent photography, working with a really great team of people. One of which was Matt, who you guys have heard from in the past on The Active Photographer. The details of this shoot, I actually can't tell you a lot about it because it's all very secret. There's a bit of a sort of a time delay on when I can actually give you details. Just as soon as that is possible, of course, I'll let you guys know. That's probably, I guess, maybe going to be in a month or two. But we'll have to wait and see. But as I say, when I can tell you, I will. What I can tell you is that this shoot involved people on two wheels, BMX and a trials bike. It was shot with stills and filmed on video, HD, in a secret location somewhere in Hampshire in the UK. We have had 2 days of it. Yesterday, and this is the second day, yesterday was mainly the video aspect. Now, that was shot on Nikon kit. That was shot on a D3S. Range of lenses, some stuff was pretty wide, sort of a 24 or even a 14mm. Other stuff was sort of longer lens stuff, sort of something nearer the sort of 200-300mm sort of range. The location was lit with fluorescent lights all down one side, which was kind of good because that gave us some existing light. But in the most part, certainly let's begin with the video stuff. The guys that were doing that, we had LED sort of floodlights, as it were. Those were sort of neutrally balanced. They were used in a complementary fashion with the existing light. Not a lot to tell you about that. The footage looks amazing. I'm sure you guys are going to really like it when it's released. I'll let you know about that. The stills I can tell you more about because I was more involved with that side of things. Now, the team of people that we had involved, we had two guys on the bikes. Apart from that, we had another, I don't know, I lost count, probably about 12 other people involved. We had about three or four cameras being used, Nikon D3 type stuff. For stills, I was mainly shooting behind the scenes stuff, so not really much post stuff. It was mainly natural light, and because of the light levels in this particular location, I was working with the fluorescent lights, and I was shooting somewhere in the region of ISO 6400, pretty much shooting wide open, so I was on f3.5, something like that, on the lens I was using. It wasn't a particularly fast lens, but for what I wanted to be shooting, it was perfectly good for that. The additional lighting we used, well, this is just incredible. We had I think at the last count there were 12 Nikon speed lights. That was a mix of SB600s, 800s and 900s. We also, those were running off Pocket Wizards. We were shooting also with Profoto heads. We had one head which was often used as a main light source. Now, on one particular shot, that was shot through a softbox. As you looked at the shot, it was coming from the left hand side as you look towards the subject. On occasions, we used that because it's a nice powerful light. We used that as one of two lights in the setup as a backlight, so we're getting some really nice kind of rim lighting, almost semi sort of silhouette. It was really, really nice. One of the unexpected bonuses of this is where we had sort of smoke and sort of fumes, as it were, just hovering in the air from the motorbike, we were getting this kind of blue sort of haze, which we could easily have done by gelling up the lights around us, that certainly the light behind. That obviously we could have done with a blue gel to get a bluey sort of colour cast to that, but we didn't. We just used the natural light, which was kind of an accident, a happy accident, but we kind of anticipated it, so it was kind of cool. So yeah, a load of lights. Now, the range, for those of you who don't know, pocket wizards are remote triggers. You can attach them to cameras or flash units. With cameras, you can use them so you can stand away from the camera, trigger the camera remotely, and it's something like a range of 1600 feet, I think it is, or 1600 meters, 1600 meters, I believe, to fire your camera using what's known as a pre-trigger. We were using them attached to the lights, and the range of this area was, I don't know, was it about, well, the range of the area that we had to work in was 0.6 of a mile, but we were sort of halfway, sort of we spanned about half of that. So the range of them were brilliant. They fired off just great, and that was really good. Now, the shots that we did, it's very difficult to explain this when I can't tell you how they're going to be used. Let's just say that they're going to be used for publicity, mostly online. I've already said about websites and YouTube, but also promotional material, stuff like that. Now, the setup, the reason we had so many people, we had guys operating video cameras, we had stills photographers, but out of all of us, we all clubbed together with various kit that we had. So for myself, I brought, what did I have? I had a couple of Nikon speed lights, I had a set of Bowens 500 watt lights, I had some 1000 watt tungsten lights, various reflectors, soft boxes, all this stuff. And some of it we used, some of it we didn't, but it was good to have it in reserve just in case. And we had a whole range of tripods, lighting stands, grip equipment, stuff like super clamps, magic arms, and we were putting stuff. We're putting the lights out of view behind ramps. We were clipping stuff to sort of chairs that were there. We had upright supports, all this sort of thing. There was loads of areas that we actually positioned the lighting. I think I'm right in saying the actual exposure of the shots that we did, we were shooting at about 200th of a second at around f9. Yeah, it was about f9 or f11, something like that. And yeah, it worked really well because of the speed at which the bikes were traveling. It meant that we had to, one of the best ways to do that, you either rely on your own manual focusing, which is, you know, personal preference, or you use the autofocus on the camera and have like a tracking focus so that you can leave the camera to adjust its own focus as the subject gets closer, or you do what we were doing, which was to pre-focus on a set area. The camera was handheld, but the guy with the camera obviously remains still. You pick your point, you don't move. When a split second before the subject gets into frame, that's when you tell yourself to physically make the shot. So you press the button, and that ever so slight time delay is enough that your timing should be spot on to get the subject in focus. The other thing is, of course, shooting at f9 to f11, light's not a problem because we had all the additional lighting, but it means that with depth of field, if you guys don't know, some people will know this and some won't. Depth of field, the area of sharpness in a picture extends 1/3 in front of and 2/3 behind the point of focus. So if you know that, you can allow for that with the subject. If you guys are using iPhones and you're really into your apps for your iPhones, your iPod touches, you can actually you can download a depth of field calculator. And actually, on one occasion, we did use that to answer a question we had about at what point the subject was going to be starting to go out of focus. And it told us that we had enough area to work with, and that was all good. Now, I can tell you, on that particular shot, we had a Land Rover parked up in a kind of tunnel area, so it's sticking out through the front of this tunnel. We then had ramps that were up either side of this tunnel area, and then we had essentially, you guys that are into your BMXing and everything, you'll know, or skateboarding, you'll know that it's known as a wall ride. So essentially, we had some wood that spanned the top vertically, the top of the tunnel, on which the guys on the bikes were taking a good old run up. They were going up one side of the ramp, along sort of horizontally. They were essentially sort of, so their shoulder was pointing towards, one towards the roof, one towards the ceiling, if you imagine that sort of approach. Probably worth mentioning that this was indoors. And so the depth of field, it allowed for the difference in the front of the car coming forward and this sort of thing. Now, that was for the main properly lit shots. For my own shots that I was doing, the behind the scenes stuff, or the setup pictures and what have you, for that I was focusing on the front of the car, because the focus on the guy on the bike going over the top wasn't such a priority for me. So I was shooting at something like a 50th of a second, and that meant that the car was pin sharp, but the guy on the bike had recorded as a blur, or a slight blur, so it gave the sense of movement. So what we're thinking of in the grand scheme of things, you're going to have all these behind the scenes pictures to back up the final pictures, and it'll just give you a really good sense of how the shoot was put together, how the lighting setup was. If you guys are following me on Twitter, you will know that if you can relate this to, obviously you'll have to think back, but I put out a load of tweets showing the kit setup. Where I could, I showed the location. I couldn't give too much away because it's all very, very hush-hush, very secret. So there's all this material, and I will be also putting stuff on Facebook as well. So the details of my Facebook page are coming up in the show notes to this show, so you can check it out and hunt around. It'll be on there. But yeah, I just wanted to give you guys a little sort of just a start to the details of this particular shoot, because it was fantastic. It was, I love working with teams of people. Okay, so when you get, as I say, sort of 14, 15, 20, however many people, and you can really get involved with your lighting and you can really indulge yourself knowing that you're going to get these fantastic shots where you've got loads of colour, loads of light, lots of depth, contrast. It's just fantastic. So just wanted to share that with you. And yeah, watch this space, as they say, for further details.
Of course, I'll be sharing photographs, video, links and other content just as soon as further details are able to be unveiled. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. You can check out my Facebook page, Giles Babbage Photography, or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.